Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, communications director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, a new bomb-detecting robot and Ready, Set, Learn. We begin this week with the Columbus Fire Division receiving new technology to keep us all safe. The Division of Fire's Bomb Squad is in need of a modern bomb-detecting robot used to inspect possibly explosive devices from a safe distance. Public Safety Committee Chair Zach M. Klein sponsored legislation that will purchase a new bomb robot by spending more than $220,000 of Department of Homeland Security grant dollars. Existing equipment will be repurposed to support the operation of the new technology and to reduce future maintenance costs. Here's Councilmember Klein.
Another example of the Division of Fire investing in equipment that not only protects our residents, but also protects our firefighters.
Well, that's the most important thing as a council member. What do we spend our money on to protect the residents and protect the men and women in our public safety forces? And I think the bomb squad equipment like this can go out and assess situations not only that are life-threatening from a bomb standpoint, but also hostile situations from the police department and other situations that are exigent circumstances. The important thing is to have the technology available to protect citizens and to protect the men and women who go out every day and bust their butt to make sure that we're safe.
And this piece of equipment has lasted 20 years. I think pretty good return on that investment.
Oh, absolutely. I think it really speaks to the ingenuity of the women and men of the Columbus Fire Department to be able to stretch this equipment for 20 years, update it as necessary. This particular model has X-ray equipment that was added. It has video cameras that was added. And the new equipment will have that as well. But as technology has evolved over the years, instead of buying a new piece of equipment every year, they're able to piece together existing technologies, new technologies on this particular piece of equipment that served the city with distinction over the past 20 years.
And the Division of Fire being able to leverage federal dollars for the $220,000 that it'll take for the new robot, saving taxpayer dollars.
Well, it's important that we as a city always find how we can leverage city money with either state or federal money as well. In this instance, it's federal money. We're able to stretch our dollar, make it go farther, save taxpayer money, at the same time buy an updated piece of equipment that protects residents and the men and women of Columbus Fire and Police.
And serves a 37-county area here in Ohio, serving literally hundreds of thousands of Ohioans.
Well, when you think about 200 runs a year over 20 years, what is that, 4,000 runs? So 4,000 runs this piece of equipment has been on. So you look at the next piece of equipment, probably going to be 4,000 or 5,000 more runs on top of that. So that's a great return on investment that is going to protect citizens and protect our men and women in uniform.
Klein received a hands-on demonstration showing the current robot's capabilities and what a newer, more advanced unit will be able to accomplish. From the Columbus Division of Fire is Lieutenant Robert L. Cooper.
Talk about the current apparatus that you use now and its service life. It has lived a long time, hasn't it?
That's correct, John. Right now we're using an Andros F6A robot made by a company called Remotec. We first received it in 1995, and it's had gone through several upgrades, but currently it's just at the end of its life cycle. We're finding it hard to replace parts. They're obsolete. So that's why we're here today, is to show our need for a new one.
Talk about the missions that the robot will be placed on. To find objects, diffuse objects, move objects?
Well, it's actually our first line of defense. We cover approximately 37 counties in the state, and we try to stay remote as much as possible. We'll take that robot up and we'll investigate something. It's got four cameras on it, and then we can also disrupt or tear apart packages without ever having to send someone downrange in the suit.
What kind of range does the robot have? How big of a cushion does it provide fire personnel?
Well, it does provide us a safe zone. I'll say we can safely go inside of buildings from out at our remote location. We can drive it up. We've done it several times, right into a bank or a business or something like that. Going up, it'll go upstairs. You can put it in the elevator and operate on multiple floors, all from outside, while we're sitting outside controlling it.
How many people does it take to control it?
Just one.
And what kind of capability will you be able to have with a new model?
Well, the new model is basically it's the industry standard. It's a Remotec F-6B, and we'll have basically the same type of capabilities, just much more efficient, much smoother operation. And again, it's just an updated version of our current thing, which is the industry standard.
And it was the industry standard, but 20 years ago.
Right, correct.
So what will happen to the older robot?
Well, we're going to use it as a backup. And actually, one of the reasons that we're getting the same type is because we can take, for example, our wireless system, communication system off of our old robot, and that way we didn't have to purchase a new one. Because that is something that was just upgraded a couple years ago and is still, the top of the line equipment.
How many runs do you guys do a year?
Approximately 200 a year. Suspicious packages, things of that nature, unattended bags, things like that. But that robot is used on about every run.
And as you mentioned, within a huge swath of Central Ohio.
Correct. Yeah. Basically. Everything south of Interstate 70 and east of Interstate 71.
This really is something that protects firefighters, allows you to do your job in the safest possible environment.
Correct. It does. It prevents us from having to put on the bomb suit and walking down over top of a package or something like that.
I'm guessing that's not fun.
No.
It tends to get your attention.
I get nervous talking about it.
I'd much rather have the robot do the work.
Correct. Yeah.
Development Committee Chair Michelle M. Mills sponsored legislation to transfer a number of properties in and around the site of the former Carl Brown IGA on the Near East Side to the Columbus Next Generation Corporation for retail and residential redevelopment in the area as outlined in the Blueprint for Community Investment Plan prepared by the Partners Achieving Community Transformation, or PACT. PACT is working with the Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority to redevelop the former Poindexter Village site.
Property contains an 8,000 square foot vacant property store building, and this legislation authorized the Director of Development to transfer the property to the Columbus Holding Group. The site is identified in a blueprint for community investment, which is a plan for the area developed by PACT, which recommends the redevelopment of the site. And it is adjacent to the Poindexter site. Director Shoney, do you have any comments to add related to this ordinance?
President Pro Tem Mills, President Ginther, members of council, a couple of comments. This project is, as you said, part of our efforts to revitalize the Poindexter area. This is the old Carl Brown Grocery, typically known as the Carl Brown site. We are partnering with Columbus Next Generation Corporation to have it redeveloped. We're also working very closely with our partners at Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority to really make sure that this is a seamless redevelopment along with the rest of the Poindexter redevelopment. We don't have specific plans yet for what this redevelopment will be. We are looking to have a combination likely of retail and office, sort of medical office kind of retail. That's what we think the community will need in that location when it's redeveloped. But really, we're working with NextGen to make sure we find what the best development for that area is. So we're looking forward to working on that. And thank you, President Pro Tem Mills, for your work and leadership on this and working with us through this process.
Ready, Set, Learn. Recreation and Parks Committee Chair Jaizen Page, who also heads the Education Committee, sponsored legislation to authorize the expenditure of $50,000 from the Community Development Block Grant Fund for the United Way's Columbus Kids Ready, Set, Learn initiative. Nearly 40% of the children entering Columbus City Schools kindergarten require intervention because they lack fundamental educational foundational skills. The United Way's Columbus Kids initiative is designed to decrease those numbers and increase the number of children who enter kindergarten ready to learn. The 2015 initiative will focus on Wyland Park, South Linden, the West Side, and South Side neighborhoods. From the United Way is Janet Jackson.
Good evening, President Ginther, Councilmember Page, and the other honorable members of City Council. I'm thrilled to be with you this evening. I am Janet Jackson, President and CEO of Your United Way, the United Way of Central Ohio. I'm here to say thank you for your past and current support of Columbus Kids Ready, Set, Learn. We are grateful to have Columbus City Council and the City of Columbus as a strong partner in this work. Columbus Kids, a United Way initiative, is focused on ensuring that children have the skills they need to succeed when they enter kindergarten in Columbus City schools. The initiative provides periodic learning checkups that identify developmental delays, behavior issues, and communication challenges for children ages 2.5 through 4. When issues are found with our young children, the children are connected with the help they need to address those issues before they get to kindergarten. Since it was launched in February of 2010, Columbus Kids has enrolled nearly 17,000 children and completed more than 26,000 learning checkups. It is eye-opening to realize that many of the children we are working with are living in deep poverty. Over 50% of the children participating in Columbus Kids live in families that make less than $10,000 per year, and 40% of these families make less than $5,000 per year. Your investment in Columbus Kids is producing positive results. As of February, our data showed that 59% of children who scored in the referral range on a learning checkup had improved their score by the following assessment, 59%. With the help of another nonprofit, Learning Circle Educational Services, we were able to match Columbus Kids and Columbus City School data regarding performance on the Kindergarten Readiness Assessment for Literacy through the 2013-14 school year. This allowed us to see that Columbus Kids participants performed better on the assessment when compared to all children entering kindergarten in the district. As an example, the percent of children in Band 1, those needing help to bring them up to grade level, was 3% lower for children in Columbus Kids than those in Columbus City Schools overall. I believe that there was a document shared with each of you. It's the most sort of recent update for us at Columbus Kids. And I want to give credit where credit is due. We don't do this alone. We do this with over 300 partners throughout this community. It really is a very collaborative effort. So again, on behalf of United Way, I want to thank you for your support of this ordinance.
And speaking of the United Way, City Council is partnering with the organization and Franklin County Board of Commissioners to fund the Community Shelter Board's outreach program. The initiative serves hundreds of people each year living on Columbus streets. Here's Councilmember Mills, followed by Councilmember Klein, and the Shelter Board's Michelle Heritage.
To authorize a director of the Department of Development to enter into contract with the Community Shelter Board for the purpose of continuing the outreach program, which includes assertive outreach at homeless encampments, proactive engagement, referral to medical and behavioral health care, and linkage to shelter and housing, to authorize the appropriation and expenditure of $117,000 from the Neighborhood Initiatives Fund and to declare an emergency. Along with Councilmember Tyson, the other co-sponsor is Councilmember Zach Klein. Councilmember Klein, would you like to add some comments?
Thank you, Chair Mills. I appreciate that. When I first learned about the gap in funding to support this outreach program, I immediately reached out to Michelle Heritage at the Community Shelter Board to figure out exactly what these outreach people do, because I think it to me was an important aspect of what the Shelter Board is doing. And to find out that these folks are literally going out on the streets, they're finding folks that are homeless, they're bringing them in the shelter. Don't need to tell anyone who's watching TV or watching this right now how cold our winter was. It was brutal, and to think to live outside in a homeless shelter, it was a smart investment for the city to make to have folks proactively go out, bring folks in the shelter, and then link them up with services, vital services that are necessary for behavioral health care. And I know Michelle is here, Michelle Heritage. Will you please, if it's okay, Chair, please come forward, Ms. Heritage, and offer some thoughts on what this program can do.
Hi, thanks for having me. Michelle Heritage with Community Shelter Board. I just want to talk a little bit about the outreach program. This program's been around since about 2003. Mary Haven's our provider on it, and they've been doing street outreach services. It is to engage folks that are staying on the land, they're living outdoors, and trying to get them into shelter or into housing. And we want to do that as quickly as possible. They serve a little bit more than 360 people per year, and it's an extremely valuable program. One of the things it does is address safety. This winter has, as we all know, have been particularly unrelenting and extremely dangerous for people to stay outside. And so the outreach teams are on the street and in the camps, really working hard to engage people and get them to come inside. And then some folks just really don't want to enter shelter. And so the outreach team's job is to take them directly to housing. And they have a very high rate of getting folks connected to either shelter or housing. 90% of the folks they're serving, they're able to get them to enter shelter or directly into housing. So very effective there. The outreach team also makes sure that we have safe neighborhoods. You know, in our community, when you look at it, it really is different than when you go to maybe some other communities around the country and you see massive street homelessness all over the place and people in very dire straits. Our program makes sure that we don't see that kind of street homelessness and gets people inside. I'm incredibly grateful for your support. Councilmember Kleins, thanks so much for your leadership on this. And Councilmember Tyson is not here, but also is co-sponsoring that. It's really important, and we are just incredibly grateful for your leadership and that we can go ahead and make sure this program continues.
Thank you, Michelle, Ms. Heritage. Any questions or comments for the Community Shelter Board Director? No? Thank you.
Thanks.
Just like to close by saying, reiterating what Ms. Heritage was saying is that when you look at budget priorities, I think this is a testament to council to make an expenditure like this to ensure that folks are off the street to make our neighborhoods safer. I think it identifies the compassion that this council has for folks that are the least fortunate. You don't steal a lot of headlines and get a lot of glamour out of this, but I think it's just, you know, it's one of those things, it's the right thing to do from a humanitarian standpoint. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councilmember Klein. I wanted to add, as it relates to this ordinance, that there are also funding requests so that the shared responsibility is with the United Way of Central Ohio as well as Franklin County Board of Commissioners. There's also ask there that we have such a generous community. We have several entities along with the city that care enough to embrace the needs that are related to the homeless population.
An update on the story we brought you last week. City Council members have voted to allocate bed tax dollars to Experience Columbus, the city's Travel and Tourism Bureau, under the leadership of Council President Ginther and Mayor Mike Coleman. City of Columbus has increased the investment in Experience Columbus as an economic development tool and a way to grow funding for the arts and cultural services that depend on the bed tax. In 2015, the contract with Experience Columbus is $8.58 million.
To authorize the Department of Finance and Management to contract with Experience Columbus for marketing services to increase tourism and convention business and strengthen the image of the City of Columbus, Ohio, to authorize expenditure of 2.39%, presently estimated at $8,583,000 of the combined rates of 5.1% of the hotel motel excise tax, and to declare an emergency. I'd like to ask Linda Logan. There she is. That was quick. Sorry. Linda Logan to please come to the podium. Linda Logan is Executive Director of the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, who's had a fantastic year. In 2015, the portion that is projected to be $8.5 million provided to Experience Columbus, through Experience Columbus, for per this ordinance. Just a side note that tourism supports one out of 11 of every 11 jobs in Franklin County. Linda, please share with us this fantastic year that you're having on behalf of City of Columbus.
Well, thank you all, President Ginther, and all of our the City Council members. Auditor Dorian, I know that we're thrilled to represent Destination Columbus at Experience Columbus and the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. Brian Ross sends his best regards. He's getting ready for his annual meeting tomorrow. So we are very thrilled with the great start that we've already had in 2015 with the kickoff of the NHL All-Star Game and many, many more. We're in the midst of our favorite month of March Madness that includes high school championships, Big Ten championships, NCAA championships across the board, along with many conventions and meetings around this quarter. I know bed taxes are up, which we all like to see. That includes occupancy as well as the average rates. As we look ahead to this year, there's just so many great things to report. We couldn't do it without you. You all are our partners. You help us raise our profile. The image of the community continues to grow. The quality of life for the people that live and reside in Columbus is extremely exciting to watch all the great things that have been happening. Our infrastructure is growing, just on and on. So I know that on behalf of Experience Columbus's board and the Sports Commission, we are proud partners and are just thrilled to be here. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. And, you know, the revenue that is very vital to the city and the county is critical through our tourism, but also the opportunities and as relates to leadership and modeling for young girls and all of the young people through sports, I think is extremely important in their opportunity to see those who have gone ahead and paved a way for them and setting the tone. And I know during the morning sports report, it gives us an opportunity to highlight some of our stars in our very own community as they achieve, and we want to continue to move the needle as it relates to achievement and leadership opportunities for girls, women, and all of our youth. And I want to say that these opportunities that come to the city not only bringing the revenue, but brings opportunities and possibility for the minds of our young people. So I just wanted to highlight that side of the tourism that we often may take for granted, but the legacy projects that come through some of the work that we do with some of the sports opportunities. Are there any other comments or questions from other council members?
And finally, Councilmember Eileen Y. Paley, chair of the Judiciary and Court Administration Committee, sponsored a resolution to recognize the retirement of Dr. Melvin V. Richardson, J.D.
My resolution is to recognize and celebrate the retirement of Dr. Melvin Richardson, J.D., from the Department of Human Resources, Equal Employment Opportunity Manager, on February 28, 2015, after 21 years of dedicated service to the City of Columbus. Whereas Dr. Richardson is a graduate of Columbus's very own East High School, after earning his Bachelor of Science degree from The Ohio State University, he then went to Georgetown University, where he earned his Juris Doctorate of Law degree. Having a career devoted to excellence, integrity, and service, Dr. Richardson was presented with two of the state of Ohio's top honors. In 1994, he was presented the Ohio Humanitarian Award by Governor George Voinovich for outstanding achievement in affirmative action. And in 2001, he was presented with the Ohio Equity and Awareness Award by Governor Bob Taft for his efforts to promote quality health care equally amongst Ohio's minority populations. Among many great accomplishments, Dr. Richardson has orchestrated and facilitated the annual City of Columbus Black History Month celebration from 1995 through 2015. Dr. Richardson has served as president of the Columbus Metropolitan Area Church Council, commissioner and chairman of the Near East Areas Commission's Human Resource Committee, as well as a mentor for African American youth and volunteer for Columbus founded I Know I Can. Dr. Richardson, would you like to make some comments?
I would. Thank you very much. I have a very brief statement I'd like to make, and that is that in 1979, excuse me, the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, otherwise known as to the world as Mother Teresa, is quoted as having said, quote, "We ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop," end quote. As to my 20 plus year tenure with the City of Columbus as Equal Employment Opportunity Manager, metaphorically, I am inclined to compare the experience to two quite imaginary lines that might be added to the children's nursery rhyme, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Quote, with a drop here and a drop there and a drop everywhere, I am so glad to now be retired, end quote. Thank you to Councilwoman Paley and to the other members of council, to the mayor, Mayor Coleman, to my other city co-workers, and to the citizen customers of the great city of Columbus. And thank you to Mother Teresa. Thank you all.
Councilmember Hardin.
I just want to say thank you for your years of service to the city. We are that much better because of those years that you've given to us. Certainly the work that you've done, and maybe this most visible piece, but those African-American History Month celebrations have been fabulous and awesome, and thank you for your leadership.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's callthroll@columbus.gov. And don't forget, you follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.